discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
A three-time Edward R. Murrow and six-time Emmy Award-winning feature producer with ESPN for 13 years, Lisa Fenn was a staple of national sporting storytelling, interviewing the biggest of the big names in sports. But it was meeting two one-of-a-kind young men that changed her life, and theirs forever. D'Artagnan Crockett and Leroy Sutton were two disabled, impoverished high school wrestlers whom she met in her hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. Leroy, who lost his legs in a childhood train accident, was often found on the back of the legally blind and transient D'Artagnan. Together, they helped each other through school, D'Artagnan carrying Leroy up the stairs as there was no elevator to the weight room, and Leroy reading the print on D'Artagnan's assignments. D'Artagnan's and Leroy's cheerful and unparalleled friendship added light to the dark and dreary halls of the poor inner-city public school they attended. A native Clevelander, raised on the other side of the city, Lisa submerged herself in a world of struggle and poverty that she'd become protected from her whole life. Over the course of 5 months, she became an integral part of the boys' lives, tagging along to their classes, practices, and team bus rides. Leroy and D'Artagnan graciously accepted Lisa, and Lisa's role in their lives grew from reporter to mom. Her initial story, Carry On, aired in 2009 and has been called the best story ESPN ever aired. Lisa's penned a memoir about their journey together called Carry On, a story of resilience, redemption, and an unlikely family. And we welcome Lisa Fenn on the road today. A great day to you, Lisa. What a treat to have you on the program.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a treat to me as well.
I don't think that we've ever had the chance to talk with an Edward R. Murrow Award winner before. This is pretty special. Give us just an introductory sketch of who you are, Lisa, and particularly perhaps, has faith always been a big part of who you are, or is it something you found along the way?
It's something I found along the way. I grew up going to private Lutheran schools throughout my life, not because my family was particularly interested in spiritual things, but more because I was raised in Cleveland where the public schools were lacking. And so the nearest private school was the Lutheran school, and that's where I was educated. And it was somewhere around my junior year of high school that I really came to understand Christ's sacrifice for me and his love for me and the kind of life he was inviting me into. And it was at the age of 16 that I gave my life to the Lord. And then I went to college at Cornell University in New York, where I was very well discipled there through Campus Crusade, and have been walking as faithfully as I can for the last 30-some years.
You explained that throughout your collegiate career, you thought God was leading you to international missions. So how did you find yourself in sports television?
Yeah, it's not a natural jump, is it? During college, I served in Russia and Siberia, actually, in some orphanages there, as well as in the outback of Australia, just these really remote places where I got to experience the power of God in life-changing ways, and I was drawn to it, and I believed that God was calling me to the mission field, and I thought I would just spend a few years saving money and raising support, and then I would go. But I found my first job in television at ESPN as a production assistant, and just realized that there was a ministry there as well, too, that I had an interest and a developing gift in storytelling, and particularly in telling stories of redemption, and seeing how those could have life-affecting abilities on viewers, on people that I was working with, interviewing. God just sort of created this ministry, this unexpected ministry in cable sports television.
I mean, it feels like it would be pretty unique to be able to find your first job in television at the worldwide leader in sports. Was it a real God thing to be able to find your first job there?
Probably looking back on it, but yes, it does seem like an exclusive club to get into. But on the production side of it, ESPN has a production training program, at least the time I was there. There are people from all different fields. There were history majors and journalism majors and just people who had been accountants and didn't want to be accountants anymore. And really the common denominator was just that they had a passion for sports and an ability to communicate effectively. And so when you enter this production training program, they really teach you that at that time they taught you the nuts and bolts of production. I didn't have any technical background at all.
Wow.
I had a communications background, but it was mostly theoretical. So they taught the technicalities of it. And then it's actually a 9-month program, and at the end of 7 months, they sort of vote to decide if you have enough potential to stay on the island.
Whoa!
That's the training program that I went through, and
wow.
That training program still exists. It's in a different form, but it's not as I shouldn't say it's not difficult to get into, but it's not something you have to work your way up to all your life.
Wow, that's fascinating. Thanks for that window into a business that many of us are fascinated by. Lisa Fenn is with us. She's the author of Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. And of course, the subject matter of this story, let's dig right into it. How did you first encounter Leroy and D'Artagnan's story, Lisa?
Well, as a feature producer, my niche was stories of inspiration of people overcoming obstacles against the backdrop of sports. And so I had been producing for about 11 years when my father called me from Cleveland, which is where I am from, and he still lived. And he brought my attention to a photograph in the Cleveland newspaper of two high school wrestlers, as you mentioned, Leroy Sutton, who was a double amputee. He had lost both his legs in a childhood train accident. And in this photograph, he was riding on the back of his best friend, D'Artagnan Crockett, who is legally blind. And I was just really drawn to this photograph like none other before. It was, if I had to put a tagline to it, it would have been the one who could not walk being carried by the one who could not see. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered how life brought them together, what could be learned from them. And I convinced my manager unconventionally to hop a flight that very morning, and I went to Cleveland to find them.
Wow. So there was a very almost visceral, almost emotional connection right away when you didn't even know that much about the story.
Yeah, there was. And that only grew as I entered the gym 5 hours later, because their coach, I had called the school ahead of time to let them know I was coming. I'm not sure they understood why. But when I got there, their coach noticed my camera crew, and he came over to meet me, and I extended my hand, introduced myself, and he sort of slapped it away, and he said, "I don't need to know your name. All that we need to get straight here is that you've been sent by God today." And that was the very first thing he said to me. And he went on to explain that he walked the track at the gym every day praying for his wrestlers. And he said that year he had prayed hard for Leroy and D'Artagnan because he said they're seniors, and once they graduate, the world's got nothing for kids like this.
Wow.
So he really thought that it was no coincidence that I was there. He didn't even know that I was a person of faith, but certainly it seemed like God had a plan from the beginning.
As you began to conduct your interviews and get to know Leroy and D'Artagnan, what were some of your first impressions as you began to discover more of the depth of the story?
My first impressions was just wow over and over again. These boys both had life-altering disabilities. They lived in abject poverty. They did not have parents actively involved in their lives, and they went to a high school with a graduation rate of 40%. Together, they had experienced homelessness, loss, trauma, all before the age of 18. And yet their primary coping mechanism wasn't drugs, it wasn't a sense of entitlement, it wasn't gangs, it was a friendship. It was a beautiful friendship. D'Artagnan literally carried Leroy on his back. And such expressions of affection were certainly not the norm in urban culture, and I just knew there was something really special about them.
There is a deeper layer of awesomeness at work in this story, which is saying something, because the initial layer is pretty awesome, clearly, but it would have been entirely normal for you to leave after getting your story and to probably never glimpse these two young men again. But why did you choose then to do the abnormal thing and stay involved in their lives?
You know, when I first met Leroy, he wouldn't speak to me for many days. He had trust issues. He had been abandoned by his biological mother, and it was just hard for him. And when I asked his coach early on, why won't he talk to me, his coach said, you know, he probably thinks you're just a turkey lady. And I said, what's a turkey lady? And he said, oh, you know, one of those rich white people from the suburbs who comes over to our side of town on Thanksgiving and drops off canned goods and then goes home.
Wow.
To the warm house and thinks they did a good deed. Mm. And I was really struck by that. And as Leroy began to open up to me and to just share snippets of his life, knowing how he had struggled with trust, I was determined that I would not be another person who walked away from him. Did I think that would mean forever for another 7-10 years? No. But in the immediate future, knowing the depth of these boys' needs and knowing that I had resources and knowledge how to solve some of the problems, or at least try to help with some of the problems they were facing, I just couldn't imagine Jesus being in that situation and walking away from them.
That's a powerful description. The book is called Carry On, a story of resilience, redemption, and an unlikely family. Lisa Fenn is the author. She's here with us today on the road. Ryan Thomas is my name. You mentioned the spiritual dimension of it right there, but when did you begin to get a sense that this was more than just a great story, more than just great television, but this really was a God's plan that you be involved with these two young gentlemen?
For these two boys, I just really fell in love with them, and they had big dreams. They didn't know how limited they were. They hadn't been out of their environments. They didn't realize they didn't have the life skills or the academic skills to become self-sufficient. But they had all this amazing heart and soul of survivors. And I just wanted to help make their dreams come true. And each day I leave the house, I always say, Lord, show me where you're at work in this world and use me where you can. And there was such a great need before me with these two boys.
The initial airing of the ESPN story produces this flood of viewer responses then. First off, did it surprise you, or was it really exactly what you anticipated in terms of the viewer reaction?
It definitely surprised me. I had prayed for just one viewer with a big heart and a big pocketbook to be moved enough to want to help them. But that was a very small prayer, because nearly 1,000 people reached out after my story on their friendship aired in 2009. And almost every one of them was offering money to help them out of poverty. Now, 1,000 may not seem like much, but these boys have been feeling rather invisible. So all this felt like all the support in the world to them. And certainly they didn't understand why at first. They didn't see themselves as inspiring individuals. They just saw themselves as surviving each day. But what the rest of the world saw was how they carried one another, and how that carrying was really a symbol for the caring, and that's what stood out as special. That's what the world was craving. I had never received a response like that from a feature I had produced before, neither had any of my colleagues. It was unprecedented, and it was the beginning of some life-changing experiences for all three of us.
In a sense, this would seem like a fairy tale ending, but as you describe, it really was just the beginning.
Yeah, I thought that I would just harness the funds that came in and pack them up and send them off to college, and we had solved this poverty problem quite simply. But as I said, it turned out they didn't have any of the life skills or academic skills they needed to become self-sufficient. And this was a surprise to me, because I had gone through private school, and I just thought you graduate high school and you go to college. That's what you do. But I didn't understand that even though they had graduated and passed all their standardized tests, they really had a subpar education. They had fifth grade math levels, eighth grade reading levels. They promptly failed everything. Neither one of them could hold on to a dollar, hit a deadline, or organize a day. And so the biggest challenges were trying to bridge these gaps and convincing them that there even was a gap to bridge. But we worked daily learning how to navigate adult responsibilities together, from classwork and tutoring and banking and customer service calls and budgeting and disability services, you name it. But those early years were marked by constant failure, because minor challenges can feel like major threats to one coming out of the toxic stress of poverty. It was like everything in their lives prepared them to endure a problem, but nothing taught them how to solve a problem. And we had to reprogram all of those mindsets, and it wasn't a quick fix. It took many, many years.
That is one of the most fascinating concepts I think that the book really brings up as well, because on the one hand, you describe they didn't recognize anything that was holding them back. So it produces, on the flip side of what you're talking about, this incredible resilience, right? To where they don't wallow in depression. They don't wallow in a sense that they can't do anything. I mean, there's an amazing ability to just really continue moving forward that they have that just really blew me away as I read the story.
Yeah, definitely. It blew me away too, watching them, because I was pretty sure I could never be as strong as they were in their shoes to grow up as they did and suffer the trauma and the loss they had suffered. I probably would have curled up in a ball. But I think that's what's so inspiring about them. It's what continues to inspire me to this day, is how they keep going, how they take the hand that they were dealt and they keep playing. It amazes me every day. As I was able to come alongside them with the love of Christ, the hope and the love that they experienced added to their strength to keep going and help them realize just how many gifts they possessed and just how much they were worth as human beings.
Man, that's some inspiring stuff. From Lisa Fenn, she's the author of Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. Here on Faith Radio, Ryan Thomas with you. At one point, D'Artagnan refers to you as his guardian angel. Leroy calls you his mom. I imagine that fills your heart pretty remarkably as you consider where this journey started.
Yeah, it's an incredible privilege to know that two young men who had every reason not to trust another human being again opened their hearts to me. I love telling the story of how a few years ago, after Leroy and I navigated a rough patch in his life together, he texted me a video of a rainstorm that was happening in Phoenix, where he was living. And as you know, rain is a rarity in the desert. And so he sent me a video of this storm, and then his text message said, "Look, all of this love has created an imbalance in the universe." My two big boys, and then they also inspired my husband and I to want to help a child before they had to go through a lifetime of struggle, so we also adopted an infant around those same years, also from Cleveland. So we've got a 7-year-old son now who looks up to Leroy and D'Artagnan as his two big brothers, and then I birthed a daughter after that. So in 2 years' time, I essentially became a mother to four children of different ages, races, cultures, and ability levels. And it's not the family on which I planned, but it's definitely better, I think.
Wow.
It's richer. I'm quite privileged to have all their love.
Just amazing. Obviously a big question, and you really come close to an answer in many ways there. But in terms of how this has shaped your faith, you talk about coming to the faith really early in life, and yet I imagine this cannot help but teach you lessons and shape you in ways that you never dreamed, right? Give us kind of an overview of how this has impacted your spiritual life.
Oh, in so many ways. I mean, all of this is, I believe that all of, we have gotten where we are today because their humble coach walked the track and prayed. prayer, he was in a rough place in his life, and prayer was literally all he had, and that's what he used. And just an avalanche of change and love and redemption has come from that. And there were so many other people who had prayed throughout the years for these boys, too, long before I ever met them. And it just makes you realize that heaven is always in motion on our behalf, and I was just the next one to heed the call. God is always at work, so I'm always humbled by that, by their coach praying. I'm also, I think Leroy has taught me I don't have all the answers when it comes to faith. As I said, I was discipled through Campus Crusade and, you know, taught the four spiritual laws, and I think that method has its virtue, but I also have a better understanding of the importance of personal relationship as the foundation of sharing faith, because Leroy had been abandoned and neglected, as I said. He went and he had gone to church every Sunday, and he sang in the choir, and I remember him telling me how he laid in his hospital room after losing his legs and crying out to God and asking why, and he said God never answered. And he said if God couldn't answer an 11-year-old boy in his greatest hour of despair, then he didn't need a God like that. And as I would go through my tidy list of Christian answers, none of them fit. How could I tell a boy who had been abandoned and neglected to believe in a faithful God? I couldn't. And I think that he's taught me that suffering yearns not always for logical arguments, but for a compassionate relationship. And so I've learned just to sort of sit in that mystery and that spiritual impasse with him, and instead show him what love and faithfulness looks like. And that takes years, and that's okay, because you have, in those situations, you need to be the gospel. So they've definitely taught me that, learning how not to be the turkey lady, of course, as I said, and understanding how to love our neighbor through expressions of mercy and compassionate justice, how God links that to eternal life, especially in the story of the Good Samaritan, how to participate in God's redemption on earth. I mean, I could go on forever, but I think with what I learned, but I think the bottom line is that I've just learned that God desires to use us all in his continuous, patient, sometimes slow tale of redemption to soothe the pain of this world.
Man. Well, beautifully said in so many ways from Lisa Fenn. Our story and our time is coming to a close already. We've got a couple minutes left, though, and I wonder maybe if you could just give us a picture, paint that picture of where you, your family are today, and sketch out as well where D'Artagnan and Leroy are today, how they're doing as well.
Thank you. Well, as a result of having stability and hope, they've gone on to do some really inspiring things, which is what we travel around speaking about a lot and why we decided to write this book. But, so I don't want to spoil too much of the ending, but it's good to know that today Leroy is the first person in his family with a high school diploma and now a college degree. He's gainfully employed. He's found great meaning in his life. And D'Artagnan is also on track to finish his degree soon. He's studying to be a social worker because he wants to help kids who grew up like he did. He's also gone on to become a Paralympic champion. And both of them will tell you they've learned the difference between truly winning or losing in this life is having one person who believes in you. And
wow.
They're now gone on to be that person for others, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
Oh, man, what a story. From Lisa Fenn, it's detailed in the book Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. And we do not want to say farewell without giving you an opportunity to express where we can go to learn more about your ministry and where we can pick up a copy of this book.
Sure. Well, the book is available anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. Lots of schools have been adopting it, colleges for their students. And it really, we found it appeals to all demographics, to mothers, to people wanting to become agents of change, to people up against long odds, to men just looking for an underdog sports story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it examines issues of poverty, of disability, of adoption, of education. But above all, it's just a portrait of redemption and an example of how racial and socioeconomic unity is achievable when the love of Christ leads the effort. So it's won quite a few awards this past year, and I feel like I can recommend it confidently. actually. if you're interested in having us come speak at, to your school, your community group, your corporation, your church, you can contact me through our book's website, which is carryonbook.com, or through my Facebook page, Lisa Fenn.
Carry On, a story of resilience, redemption, and an unlikely family. Lisa Fenn has been our featured guest today on the road, and what an absolute treat to get to know you, Lisa, and this amazing story of D'Artagnan and Leroy. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks so much for following that leading and being such an inspiration for us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.